Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parigrahacharya Astotarasata Shri Sriman His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jaya
Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Iskand Guru Vrinda Ki Jaya Ramsiko, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Niki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Shri Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shyama Veda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. This is text 47. Tushtuvur munaya hrista
Tushtuvur munaya hrista
Krishnam tadhuya namadhi
Krishnam tadhuya namadhi
Hitaste Krishna hridaya
Hitaste Krishna hridaya
Sasraman prayashu puna
Sasraman prayashu puna
Tushtuvur munayo hrista
Tushtuvur munayo hrista
Krishnam tadhuya namabhi
Krishnam tadhuya namabhi
Kataste Krishna hridaya
Kataste Krishna hridaya
Sasraman prayashu puna
Sasraman prayashu puna
Please chant.
Krishna Hridaya,
Krishna Hridaya,
Sasramam Prayayu Punaha,
Tushtuvur Munayo Hrista,
Tushtuvur Munayo
Hrista,
Krishna Kaguya Namahi.
Tathaste Krishna
Hridaya. Swashaman Praya Upanaha. Anybody else? Tushtuvum. Satisfied. Munaya. The great sages headed by Vyasadeva, etc. Krishna. All in a happy mood. Krishnam. Unto Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Tat. His. Guruya, confidential. Namabhi, by his holy name. Tata, thereafter. Te, they.
Krishna
Hridaya, persons who always bear Lord Krishna in their hearts. Svaashraman, to their respective hermitages. Prayayu, returned. Punaha, again. All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna, who was present there, by confidential Vedic hymns. Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts. Please repeat. All the great sages.
Then
glorified Lord Sri Krishna,
who was present there,
by confidential Vedic hymns.
Then all of them
returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna
within their
hearts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord. And the Lord is always in the hearts of the devotees. That is the sweet relation between the Lord and his devotees. Due to unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord, the devotees always see him within themselves. And the Lord also, although he has nothing to do and nothing to aspire to, is always busy in attending to the welfare of his devotees. For the ordinary living beings, the law of nature is there for all actions and reactions. But he is always anxious to put his devotees on the right path. The devotees, therefore, are under the direct care of the Lord. And the Lord also voluntarily puts himself under the care of his devotees only. So all the sages headed by Vyasadeva were devotees of the Lord. And therefore, they chanted the Vedic hymns after the funeral ceremony just to please the Lord, who was present there personally. All the Vedic hymns are chanted to please Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. All the Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, and so on are seeking him only, and all hymns are for glorifying him only. The sages, therefore, performed the exact acts suitable for the purpose, and they happily departed for their respective hermitages. Om Jnana Timiranda Syaginantana Shalakaya Chasun Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakada Mahiyam Dadati Shakadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Kaparukamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanditam Kam Sujivam Sadvetam Sadhurutam Parijana Sahitam
Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanandita Mishra Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Sauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Pancha Kalpa Taru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyasha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Thank you everybody for being here in this wonderful temple of the Lord that exists by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and is still open because of Mukhya's wonderful management, because I know many temples aren't able to be open. And thank you all for following the protocols of masks and social distancing. So, and I just beg everybody for your mercy. It's been a long time since I sat here to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. The first sentence in the purport is that the devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the hearts of the devotees. And that reminded me of a song we used to sing quite often 30 years ago. It's Narottam Das Thakur from Pratana. It begins, E baro karuna koro vaishnava gopa. But I'll read the translation. O Vaishnava Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose near audience all sins go far away? After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, one becomes purified. But just by the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified. This is your great power. The holy name delivers one who has committed an offense to Lord Hari. But if one commits an offense to you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda. And Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottam yours and be kind upon him. So these sages, when they were leaving the presence of Grandfather Bhishma just after his departure, oftentimes in the material world, of course, funerals and the time of departure are occasions for lamentation. And of course, everyone was very sorry to see Grandfather Bhishma go, but at the same time, he had spoken so eloquently and so wonderfully and lived so gloriously that when leaving, it's described that all the sages returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts, and they were glorifying the Lord by confidential Vedic hymns. So we heard yesterday from Akuti Prabhu, Sunday feast, so many different glories of the Vedic literature having instructions on every aspect of life, from medicine to military, so many things, architecture. So there's so many hymns in the Vedas. But we're advised not to, what is it Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? Don't be carried away by the flowery words of the Vedas in terms of thinking that, oh, I worship this demigod and get that temporary result. But that is a less intelligent approach. But we're told to simply worship Krishna and go back to Godhead. So I was remembering when I was thinking of them chanting the Vedic hymns in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description that Krishna says, when my beloved reproaches me, when she scolds me, when my beloved reproaches me in a sulky mood, I forget the reverential hymns of the Vedas. So I was missing Yashoda Krishna because this is the first morning after Kartik, and all this month we've been reciting every day how, you know, for those who are thinking of the Lord only in his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord tells them, no, I'm conquered and overwhelmed by the pure loving devotion of the Brijbasis, my mother, my cowherd boyfriends. I get on their shoulders and they take me for a ride, or they get on my shoulders and make me carry them. So Krishna's intimate pastimes are the most attractive. I don't know if some of you know Bhakta Bab. He comes here, and he periodically sends me little text messages to tell me when something is happening with the Beatles albums or something like that. He's a great fan of George Harrison. So just a day or two ago, I got a message with a picture of a new record that's come out. It was just like 2 days ago, the 50th anniversary of the release of the record, My Sweet Lord. And of course, I went back to my own where I was 50 years ago, and right around this time, 50 years ago, I was actually heading into a nervous breakdown. It was a big deal. I was having a very hard time figuring out how to be in the world. And I think it was right around at Christmas time, I went to visit my sister. And this new record came on the radio. And we were not a religious family. We never talked about God. I went to church with my friends. It was right next door. I did all these things, sang in the choir, but we never talked about God. My parents had had, both of them had had too much from their parents. But when I was at my sister's house, the record came on and the song, the lyrics were there, and she smiled at me and she said, isn't it funny how someone so rich and famous is singing about God? And it really went in my heart. And of course, that record, you know, he's singing, I really want to see you, I really want to be with you. It takes so long, but I really want that, you know, and it made us all long. And he puts Jesus in there so all the Christian people feel happy, but he also has the Hare Krishna mantra. And how many millions of people became introduced to Hare Krishna through that album? So I was appreciating. And like we heard the other day in class, George Harrison had gotten the Happening album that Prabhupada made in 22nd Avenue, that Alan Coleman. Somehow they found this record studio man, and he was attracted. He was putting out different people singing and talking, so he had Srila Prabhupada and the devotees come to his studio. They recorded chanting Hare Krishna, and then Prabhupada spoke, and most devotees that I know, it's like you heard this so many times, you know, anyone can take part in the chanting. Even a child can take part, or even a dog. You know, it takes you up beyond the spiritual, mental platform to, I mean, not the spiritual, beyond, how does it go? Beyond the mundane level, but he lists several, like, you know, physical, mental, emotional, something like that. It takes directly to the spiritual platform. If you heard it, you'd be able to finish the sentences. But, you know, so who knew that this very small record company would put out a record that would go across the ocean, be heard by one of the most powerful, popular band in the world, And that one of them band members would take it seriously. And he and John Lennon, I think in that book that did Yungan distribute so profusely, Chant and Be Happy, they tell how they just heard this album and then they started chanting. Sometimes I think he and John Lennon, they were in a boat somewhere and they chanted for how many hours? So many hours they were just chanting. Yeah. And so then so many people who can understand that Krishna is working through the material nature, finding some receptive soul. Oh, you have this ability, then use it in this way. You have some fame, then use it in that way. And bring people under the shelter of Krishna. So, due to unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord, the devotees always see him within themselves, and the Lord also, although he has nothing to do and nothing to aspire to, is always busy in attending to the welfare of devotees, his devotees. For the ordinary living beings, the law of nature is there for all actions and reactions, but he is always anxious to put his devotees on the right path. So, Narayani Prabhu, when she gave class, every reference that she has, she knows the chapter, the verse, everything. I have people say, oh, good memory, but I may be able to remember phrases and I may be able to remember verses, but I don't know the chapter and verse number. But I was just reading or hearing the other day about how Krishna actually is all the actions and he is all the reactions. And yet he's aloof from them. So, but nothing can exist that's not his energy. He sets the whole thing into action, not directly, but through Lord Brahma, Shambhu, glancing over the material, the Mahatattva, and putting all the living souls in that had been waiting in limbo, kind of, while he sleeps. and then he wakes and breathes out. Oh, what was I reading this morning? In third canto, I'm reading in chapter 20. I took a picture of the verse I was reading. If I can read it from here. But it just struck me. Let's see. It was Shonaka. It was the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura. So Shonaka's inquiring, and he said, there must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord. The hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. So, this purport begins, the water of the Ganges is purified because it pours forth from the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges because it is spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of his transcendental activities. The Lord is absolute. There is no difference between his words, his perspiration, or his pastimes. Reading and you think this one sentence, if I could just broadcast it to the world, how incredible are Srila Prabhupada's books. Usually you think of the water of the Ganges when he kicks through, Lord Vamanadeva kicks through the covering of the universe and then the Ganges comes down. So, but Prabhupada is now calling it his perspiration, it's just too sweet. So the devotees are under the direct care of the Lord, and the Lord also voluntarily puts himself under the care of his devotees only. One of the talks I heard recently was on Prabhupada's disappearance day. His Holiness Kiriraj Maharaj was remembering and bringing so vividly forth what it was like to be with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan during those last days. And he specifically focused on the Prabhupada when he saw Lokanath Maharaj and the Padayatra. And he said, I want to go. I want to go on the bullock cart ride. And so Lokanath Maharaj was so excited and making all arrangements, and other devotees were, yes, let's do, because Srila Prabhupada wants. But the devotees who were taking personal care of Srila Prabhupada knew how frail his body was. He couldn't even turn by himself in the bed. And there, you know, this, even if we put mattresses on the cart, it's so rough road. You'll be jostled. I mean, and the doctor, you know, he was just skin and bones. So they were very much not wanting Prabhupada to do this. And like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was one of the personal servants, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, if anybody wants you to travel, I do. But why does it have to be tomorrow? Can't we wait until you get a little strength back, and then we'll take you on bullock cart wherever you want to go, all around. So there were these two camps, and Giriraj Swami was describing how, he said, I had, people that I looked up to, senior to me in both camps, I was sympathetic to both, but they were so strongly opposed to one another. One was like, why are you thinking you're going to do something different than the spiritual master is telling you to do? And the other group was like, you want to kill Srila Prabhupada? I mean, it was very, very intense. He told it with so much detail, and he was there. So you felt really what it must have been like. And he said, then when Prabhupada, and then there were two things, something that had happened earlier where he hadn't been eating or drinking. And then Upendra, Prabhu, who was his servant, said, Srila Prabhupada, you have to drink. And Prabhupada said, it was like, okay, you want me to live. Oh, you decide, Prabhupada said, you decide. And the devotees went, is he actually saying that we have a voice in this? And they understood that he was giving them Krishna has given me the choice. So I'm not sure time-wise which, but there were two different instances where Prabhupada basically said, if the devotees want me to stay, then I'll stay. So he asked for something to drink the one time, or some strawberries or something. And the other time, also they talked to Bhagatji, and Bhagatji understood that he also said, no, you shouldn't go in the bullock cart like that. So two different times Prabhupada succumbed to the will of the devotees. All right, if I shouldn't put you in so much anxiety, because Tamal and maybe Bhavananda Prabhu, whoever there, you're making us crazy. He said, oh, I don't mean to put you in so much, I won't go. And he turned to Bhagatji and see how much they love me. And then, when they said, you're making us mad with love for you, that is my duty. But Giriraj Swami was telling that he himself, he didn't know quite how to put, but then when Prabhupada left, he thought, now the warring camps, they'll let it go because it's over. And he said, but they didn't. It's still going on. And the irony is, practically with any of these controversial topics that come up, if you actually talk to a person that's on one side or another, it's because of their love for Srila Prabhupada that they feel so strongly the way they do. You know, and still, it's at odds. But he said for him, it was resolved when, after Prabhupada left, then like maybe the day or so, he was just sitting in Prabhupada's room behind the bed, and there was a bookcase there. He was chanting. But then he took one book, and where he opened it to, it was the pastime of Yashoda Damodar. And the whole thing was Krishna putting himself under the care of his mother, allowing himself to be bound. Why? Because of her intense love. So that, for him, it settled the matter. But I did think it was interesting that he said, I thought that the dispute would end, but it never did, and it still goes on. So, Hare Krishna. You know, I know that sometimes Prabhupada told, even in the spiritual world, there are different camps. You know, the Radharani's group that wants to please Krishna, and sometimes they're contrary in their ways. And Chandravali's group, they're more submissive because that's her nature. And then there are the Vaikunthavasis, you know, so many different ways of loving Krishna. Grandfather Bhishma, we've heard many people speaking about how is it that he could be on the opposite side in the battle and still be a Mahajan? How could he watch Draupadi attempted to be disrobed and still be a Mahajan? You know, all these things are inconceivable. But Grandfather Bhishma, we've also heard, was in the mood that he, it was a, chivalrous mood, that he wanted to see Krishna coming towards him in anger with the wheel raised and the blood apparently on Krishna's body from his own arrows. You know, he said, to break, in order to keep my promise that I'll either kill Arjuna today or Krishna will have to pick up a weapon, in order to keep my promise, he had to break his own. So that's love. Krishna allows himself to be bound and controlled by the love of his devotees. So all the sages headed by Vyasadeva were devotees of the Lord, and therefore they chanted the Vedic hymns after the funeral ceremony just to please the Lord, who was present there personally. All the Vedic hymns are chanted to please Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So 15:15, if you know it, we can say together, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannidhisto matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha vedaisha sarvaham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vit eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So he's in everyone's heart, and when we go through our day, there was something in the purport that I, can I find it? It was a different. Oh yeah, the last sentence of the same purport about Krishna being non-different from his perspiration. If we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna, then we do not stand on the material platform, but always on the spiritual platform. So just like, you know, there's so many flowers in the material world, so many different kinds of trees, that some of them bear flowers, and some of the flowers come to the temple and Madhumati. Yeah, you get to string them into garlands for the Lord's pleasure. All our different activities can be used in Krishna's service. And so many varieties. Even the scientists, Prabhupada would tell his devotee scientists, try to speak the language. You know the language that scientists understand. So you present Krishna consciousness to that group. And now Bhaktivedanta Institute has purchased quite a mansion-type house in Gainesville, so they can host seminars with devotee scientists from all over the world. And like that consciousness in science thing they did a year or two ago, invite so many students to come in here so that people get the idea how to understand consciousness as something different from what we're used to dealing with, the three dimensions of what we can see, hear, touch, and smell, and so on. So I'll stop and see if anybody has comments, questions, or additions. Yes, Prabhu. There'll be a microphone coming so that devotees can hear.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice class. Question I have, and there's no right and wrong answer for this one. Just put yourself, you know, in a situation, or let me put myself in a situation where, you know I'm going to die tomorrow or day after tomorrow. And I have one wish that I want to fulfill. My relatives are, you know, my kids, my family is around. They don't want, they know that if I take that wish, it's gonna expedite my journey to the end. What I would do, or my question is, what you would have done? And as I said, there's no right or wrong answer, but what's your opinion? And then I have a following question too.
You mean if we were in Grandfather Bhishma's place?
Or I mean, if okay. No, not, yeah,
just
the same.
We were going to die soon.
Yeah, if you would have been in that situation, what you would have done, what you would wanted to do?
I have a friend who always says that if you have not chanted your 16 rounds, and then, you know, like say you get in the car after that, you know, that's not a good thing. But if you've chanted all your rounds and you're out doing something, it's a good day to die. I think it was a line from a movie she'd seen. It would be a good day to die. Yeah, you want to make sure you do what we promise to do. I'm not a great soul, so I don't know. But I think if we try to give Krishna when we can, and we try to remember Krishna and serve the devotees, that's what I would hope for. You said you had
so which question. One would you have picked up? You know, you wanted to go for a Govardhan ride, or you wanted to stay for your friends and, you know, and your disciples?
That place you're
that,
putting.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
tough call. You can't decide?
Just on such a different level, I can't even imagine relating to. But if I had been in that group among the devotees there, I would have opted to please stay, don't go on the ride.
So, please the devotees and not fulfill your wish. That's what you said? So please devotees and not fulfill your last wish. That's what you said?
No, I'm not putting myself in the place of
my wish.
I see. Well, Prabhupada, my understanding is pleasing the devotees was his decision based on their love. His whole modus operandi. Oh, I know one thing that happened. A doctor came to him. Maybe he was in Bombay. It was the last few months. A doctor had come to him and said, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, at that time, already a few murtis had been established. Prabhupada's murtis, and sent to temples. And so devotees would come into the temple, even non-devotees, but, you know, friendly people, and touch the feet of the murti. So the Kaviraj heard about this and he was alarmed because Prabhupada's health was already frail. And he went to Srila Prabhupada, I think it was a godbrother. It was a very exalted Vaishnava, but he came and he said, don't you understand? He said, if these murtis are established now while you're still here, it's not different from you. If they touch your feet of the murti, all of the sinful reactions of those people will come to you. And he was urging Srila Prabhupada not to do it. And Prabhupada said, don't you understand why I have come? That's my purpose. And so then the godbrother didn't say anything after that. Is that all right? I mean, yeah.
I still did not understand what you would have done. What? I mean, just this way or this way?
I think asking me to put myself in Prabhupada's shoes is just a little more than I can do. Sorry. I just have to say,
Yeah, that's fine. And the following question is, you know, what you have known Prabhupada, just from your perspective of Prabhupada, what he would have, what he wanted to do in that situation. I don't know what was the real situation, what exactly, you know, we did, or, you know, his disciple did, but what he would have done if he could decide and say, okay, I want to do this.
Well, I think what he would have done is what he did do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your nice class. We give it to you. Nice.
Thank you for your blessing.
I was thinking, you mentioned about Giriraj Maharaj and how it was difficult for him to, like he was hearing both the sides, you know. So I was just thinking about Maharaj, that his, how it must have been so hard for him, for the person who he is. I was remembering that we were at a Govardhan retreat, and it was a japa retreat, that one. And so Giriraj Maharaj was talking about a situation that he faced and what he decided. He said that during japa, some devotees say that you put earplugs,
right.
So then you can hear the chanting very nicely.
Right.
And some devotees, then he saw the other devotees were saying, no, you're supposed to not put earplugs, but you're supposed to hear from your mouth into going to your ears. You know, in other words, don't put earplugs. If you're talking, the sound vibration is meant to go from here to here.
Right.
And so Maharaj was kind of appreciating both the thinking.
Right.
And so he said, then I decided I'll put one earplug. So just appreciating. Giriraj Maharaj is like, you know, I was thinking that little thing, he was like, you know, so can't imagine what he was going through, you know, seeing the situation with Srila Prabhupada. So,
right.
But yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Thank you, beautiful class. My question is, when you heard my sweet Lord, you were in a horrible place in your life, was that an epiphany moment for you? Did that bring you back? You said you were 50 years ago, you were suicidal. Yeah, well, not exactly suicidal, but...
Well, you said you were...
A nervous breakdown.
Yeah. Well, you were very depressed.
Yes, I was.
But anyway, was that an epiphany moment for you when you heard that?
It wasn't, I mean, it was an epiphany. It was part of a long chain of epiphanies. It took a couple years before I actually was pushed into such extreme suffering that when I met a devotee, I was able to... I heard this example early on, and some of you may have heard it, that, a person came to a teacher, and he said, how can I take this up seriously? And the teacher didn't say anything, he just took him down to the river nearby, pushed him in the water, and kept him there. And... And then the man, you know, he was about to drown. He and the teacher said, when you want spiritual knowledge or when you want the holy name as badly as you wanted that breath of air, then you will be able to, like say, chant sincerely. Or so it took some doing to get me to the point where I would be able to hear and not want to ever go back to material world.
I just remember when All Things Must Pass came out, and me and my brother were crying because the Beatles broke up, right? And we were like, now it's the end of the world. We were so mad at them.
Right.
How could they break up? You know,
right.
They were the only light in our life. And we had heard Hare Krishna from, you know, from Elementary Penguin singing Hare Krishna. And I remember we asked our babysitter, what is that? And she explained to us, you know, those guys on the street, you know, chanting the bald heads, blah, blah. That was the first. But when we got All Things Must Pass with the liner notes, you know, chanting the names of the Lord
and
you'll
be free,
the art of dying,
right,
I mean, song after song.
Right.
And these were all, he had the band. I mean, you know, he had Clapton and Klaus Voormann and all those guys, Nicky Hopkins, those guys were way better bands than the Beatles. And George had already written all those songs. And Paul McCartney snuffed them. You know, he'd give them like one song per album, you know.
Yeah,
and
he always
so he
it.
Had all that stuff. And boom, when that came out, we played that records, it was three albums, played that thing until it was just ruined, you know, because we just learned over and over and over. And I remember singing, you know, along with it.
Right.
And it just changed our lives.
Actually, that makes me think of two things. First, the point where Paul McCartney just, you know, snuffed, because Paul and John were older. And George was a couple years younger when they started. And these are like teenage boys, 15, 16, 14. And because they kept that impression, he's the not the musician, not the songwriter, what it be, and then it turns out he's actually amazing. Isn't that a little like us? I've been here longer. I know more. You all just came, you know, 15 years ago, and I've been doing this for 40-some years. But there's some people that, I mean, last night I was at home, but I was hearing Nadia's kirtan, and I was like, oh my God, you know, it's like amazing. But that's our tendency too. We're not any better that we can think of ourselves in a mundane way. But the other thing you made me think of was when I got that album, I was given All Things Must Pass, and also reading. And I went to visit my father, and I was reading to him, isn't it a pity, isn't it a shame that not too many people can see we're all the same? But we're not all the same. He said, and it's, I mean, he was right, and George was also right, because we are an eternal soul, and that's vision in the mode of goodness, one undivided spiritual soul wherever. But also, there's Varnashram, there's the educated people, there's Shudras, there's merchants. So
it's amazing the power that, because of Shamasundar's friendship with him and because of his connection with Prabhupada, he had potency. And it was like recently on Sangatan, I've been saying to guys, you know, that are older and can appreciate the Beatles, I say, you know, today is, especially when it's the 50th anniversary of the release of All Things, and these people are like, give me that. I mean, they just, and we've been using the Beatles
ever since
I joined the movement.
Right.
We go out in Sangatan, and we had little cards printed up that said Apple Records on it, right?
Uh-huh.
Words from Apple, you know,
right
from the Krishna
right.
book, you know, the little
right.
apple peel
right.
coming up.
Right.
And we went and we did the 74 tour with George. We'd go right inside with boxes of trilogies, you know,
right.
and he's up there with Dylan and, you know, Leon Russell and everybody.
Right.
Everybody, they all like Krishna.
Right.
And we were just
right.
like, we were part of the thing, you know, And I'm just to this day out in Sangatan, you know, I pull out a Beatles book and people want it. It's just Krishna's mercy. It was Krishna's plan, you know, to preach. But.
And he also was in such a position that everywhere he went, you know, and here were the devotees, and they were like, oh, you should meet our Prabhupada. We were over him. You know, and it was a relief to him that and Prabhupada, the way he treated, oh, these are good boys. They're nice boys.
Yeah. I was 14, my brother was 16. changed my life. There's some comments here in the chat. Mahesh Pandey. Ganga Jal has bacteria called phasis, which kill harmful bacteria in our bodies. So if we have faith, we can just drink Ganga Jal and be cured from corona.
Oh, cool. If we have faith.
You call it faith, I call that ignorance.
No, but I've actually heard, of course.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Good luck drinking the Ganga or anything over there right now. When I first went to India, I jumped in the Ganga and I just started drinking. And then I almost died. But my dad said, well, what happened? I said, well, I drank the Ganges. And he said, well, you idiot, of course you're going to die. But I didn't die, I lived. Here's another one. Mahavishnu Priya Devi Dasa. Very sweet class. Thank you, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada was always intent upon giving Krishna consciousness to others at every moment. He was thinking of delivering lost souls. With his dying breath, he was instructing others how to spread this movement more.
Oh, that's a nice comment. Right. Nice. Yes. That reminds me, there was a Satsrup Maharaj poem about why Prabhupada came to New York. Why did he choose that place? And in the poem he said, because so many souls were falling off from here, and it seemed a good place to catch them. Okay, thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.